Episode 182 of the Hogan Johns podcast is brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen. And if you do, make sure you tell them that the Hogan Johns podcast sent you. And I guarantee you, they'll be happy to answer all of your questions, unlike Mitch Trubisky, who wasn't as happy with Adam Johns' questions today in Miami.
It was different.
A lot of things were different today, my friend. That was a tough one. So let's go ahead and start the therapy session.
Podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed.
Double pass. Trey Perkins. Down for the end zone. Touchdown. Bam. Here's the interception. Kyle Fuller down the sideline. Now here's Trubisky. Touchdown. They kept it alive.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
Yeah, let's go.
I'd be awesome.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
The new sheriff in town.
Did you order to come right?
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
They gave us Detroit.
And now, here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
And we are underway.
Well, Johnsy, what a stupid football game today.
It was wild. It was insane. Can I say literally insane? Does that qualify, Adam, in this case?
There were some things that were insane, literally, in this game. Sure, yeah. I'll go with you on that one.
That counts. Okay, I'm glad I have your approval. But yeah, it was bonkers. So the swings in momentum, the awful first half, the amazing second half start for the Bears offense, and then just things just go kind of crazy. The fumbles, the turnovers, the tip passes that go down the field. Just a wild game here in Miami Gardens.
Well, we'll get you through it. You can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/BearsChicagoSunTimes.com is where you read Johnsy. Please subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Well, here's how I want to do this, and we'll get you Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy sounded different after the game today. I mean, this was for the first time we've really heard him angry. I think is angry fair?
Yeah. I think there were some stunned qualities too to his responses to some of the questions as well. Not his answers to the questions. I think he was just stunned to begin with, just how things kind of unfolded for the Bears here at Hard Rock Stadium. Like we said, it was a wild game, and I think some of it was still shocking to him at that moment.
So we'll get you some of that here momentarily. Here's what I want to do, Johnsy, because this was, you know, yesterday Northwestern pulled out a crazy game against Nebraska, and Pat Fitzgerald on our postgame show, Northwestern's head coach, said something interesting, which he kind of admitted that Nebraska lost the game more than Northwestern won it. And he did so in the context, though, of it's so hard to win football games that more times than not, the losing team is the one that kind of decides the game. Like the losing team, more times than not, the losing team loses the game more than the winning team goes out there and wins it, if that makes sense. I thought today's game was the epitome of that. It's like neither team, both of these teams out there today, the Bears and Dolphins, made so many mistakes, could not come through with that one play to win, whether it was on offense, defense, special teams, whatever. And then ultimately just came down to one kick, and the Dolphins were either going to make it or this was going to be a tie.
Yeah, you know what? At one point, I wrote this for the Sun-Times. It looked like everything, I would say forgotten. I wouldn't say forgiven, but at least shrugged off in a sense. You know, if Cody Parkey makes that kick, we're writing different stories. The tenor of our stories are a bit different. Matt Nagy feels a bit different. People feel differently about Mitch Trubisky's performance. I think he was good. I thought he was really good, actually, considering how bad he was in the first half. He came out, but you're right. Neither team seemed to want to win this. Just so many mistakes, so many miscues, so many missed tackles, Adam. That was really appalling. I'm sure we'll get to that. But yeah, what a wild one.
Well, yeah, I want to go through the reasons of why the Bears lost this game. There's many of them. from the defense to the offense to the coaching to, quite frankly, the officiating was terrible for, I mean, for both teams, but there were some terrible calls made in this game that affected the outcome, I think. But starting, I have to start with the defense in terms of the biggest reason why the Bears lost this
absolutely,
game.
Absolutely, absolutely. 100% agree with you. Go on, sorry.
Yeah, because, look, you're up 21-10, and regardless of the calls or Mitch Trubisky throwing that interception, I'm not there. There was blame to go all around here. But when you have that lead with that defense that you saw the first four quarters of the season, the first four games of the season, I mean, it should have been over. You're facing Brock Osweiler. We talked about this all week leading up to the game. This advantage the Bears had, their front seven versus the Dolphins' offensive line, was so enormous. And this was when we thought Tannehill was playing. Then Osweiler comes out there, which turns out to be Dolphins' secret weapon because he's now 3-0 against the Bears in his career, which is really depressing to think about if you're a Bears fan. But there was no pass rush at all, at all. The entire game, and the tackling was terrible. I just did not see that defensive performance coming today, and to me, that was the biggest reason why they lost this football game.
Oh, absolutely. If you're going to bill yourself as one of the best defenses in the league, what did Danny Trevathan say at some point this week? Maybe he thought they could be special, one of the best of all time. I forget which week he said that, but he definitely said something like recently. You do not make Albert Wilson look like Antonio Brown. I'm sorry. He should not be doing that to your secondary. He should not be doing that to your linebackers over the middle. The tackling was appalling. Look, I get that offenses can do things to slow down your pass rush. And obviously, Adam Gase had that dialed up for Brock Osweiler. A lot of quick throws. I get that. You know, it's fine. But the tackling was horrendous here by the Bears against the Dolphins. Again, look at Albert Wilson's touchdowns. Those should not happen. That 75-yard score right through the middle of the defense, that's appalling. When they watch the film on that, someone should knock over that television because that is just really, really bad defense all the way around.
Well, and we're going to touch on the officiating here because I think that there's that specific play. A number of situations, there was a bad call, but the Bears still had the power to overcome it and didn't. Okay, so on that specific play, I don't know if you saw this, but Akeem Hicks had his helmet pulled off his head by one of the offensive linemen. It was so blatant, hands to the face, that should have been called. If you're going to be calling touchy, roughing the passer calls is going around the whole league, including that one on Leonard Floyd earlier in the game, then you have to give the defense some kind of help when the offensive lineman's pulling the helmet off a guy's head. That being said, it was a short pass. The Bears had like 10 opportunities to tackle the guy.
It was a check down, Adam. It was a check
exactly.
down throw over the middle. Just, I can't count how many guys. I forget who took out. Like, the Bears linebacker core was in hot pursuit. It was Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan. Someone misses a tackle. Big collision there. They get all slowed up. Eddie Jackson misses a tackle on the wide open field. Just bad. It's just bad. There's no other way to put it. That should not happen for any defense, especially for one that's going to call itself one of the best in the league.
Bad angles, arm tackles, not running through guys, just sort of diving at players' ankles. It happened throughout the game. This is kind of a weird thing to say, but I hope it's because of the heat.
I know what you're saying.
Well,
yeah.
Well, because here's the problem, Johnsy. Because if it's not, if it wasn't a heat / energy issue, where you're just sort of you're going 90% instead of 100%, which you know, it's happened to me. You're tired playing basketball, and you just don't quite go after that. You know, give that little effort to go grab an extra rebound. That can kill you in an NFL football game, and I sort of understand it playing in that type of heat. It's a bad excuse. It's not really an excuse. It reflects poorly on you if that's the case. But the reason why I'm saying this is, I hope it's because of the heat, because otherwise this defense is going to have more issues going forward the rest of the season. Whereas if it was just one game because of the circumstances and standing in the sun the whole time, I don't know, then maybe you can come back next week at the Patriots and go back to looking like that defense that you thought you were the last 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, look, the Bears sideline is clearly in the sun. They had these little canopies going on where guys were holding up these tarps. I don't know exactly what they're holding on, but obviously
I felt bad for those guys.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are the guys who deserve a raise after today. Obviously, the Dolphins constructed this building to put some teams at a disadvantage. But you know what? Like, at one point, I thought the Bears looked gassed. And so that was some of the offensive players taking a knee on the field during an injury timeout. And then I forget which Albert Wilson touchdown it was. I checked the time of possession, and it was very similar. And then at one point, the Bears had gained the advantage like they have this year in time of possession. So that, I don't think that was an excuse just in terms of being worn down. I think it's a lot of things. Sure, maybe the heat was a factor, but maybe it's some overconfidence. Maybe it's being surprised. Maybe it's not being able to rebound a bit. But man, look, I don't think any excuse should work for that type of tackling. I don't care where you're playing. I don't care if it's -5 out or 105 out like it was today and humid. You should not be that bad at tackling.
All right, so reason number two for me after the Bears' defense being bad. Number two was those red zone turnovers. The fumble by Jordan Howard cost you a touchdown. The Mitch Trubisky interception where he's forcing a ball into double coverage to Ben Broniker, of all people. And I think it was still first down, right? It came after the penalty, but it wasn't a situation where you needed to force it. So this is another part where we bring in the officiating a little bit. Touchdown wiped off the board because they call a pick play on Trey Burton. Honestly, it's a debatable call, but on the list of bad calls that were in this game, I actually have that one down the list because Trey Burton could have handled that better. You turn around, you act like you want the ball, then you have a right to be in the position you're in. He straight out kind of extended his arms and hit, I think it was Kiko Alonso in that situation. I completely understand why it was called. It was touchy, but I get why it was called. You can handle that situation better. And then, obviously, Mitch Trubisky can handle it better after the touchdown's taken off the board because there's no excuse for that interception. As good as he was today, and I actually agree with you, Johnsy, I thought for the most part this was his second best game, obviously behind the Bucs game last week. But you can't throw that pass. That was arguably the worst decision of his young career so far.
Well, he also had another awful pass to Tariq Cohen in double coverage where he kind of threw across his body. But I think overall, he did enough. I believe he did enough to win this game. He comes back in the next drive, hits an Anthony Miller wide open over the middle for a touchdown. So you saw a response out of him. Just to touch on the Trey Burton thing quickly. Yeah, if he doesn't lower his shoulder a little bit and dig into Kiko Alonso, I think that play is allowed to go. We see it all the time. Those pick plays, those rub plays, whatever you want to call them, are allowed to go off all the time throughout the league. But when he dips his shoulder, I think it leaves it open to interpretation there. And obviously the officials didn't like it. And on the play call to Ben Broniker, I really like Trubisky's answer. I know you're going to play it here in a little bit, but he tried to look off the safety. The safety kind of stayed there. He lost him in his sight. Look, Matt Nagy wanted to be aggressive in that situation coming off that penalty and that negated touchdown to Tariq Cohen. And he played what the play was. Yeah, I'm sure there was a check down there somewhere, but I know there was a couple routes going through the end zone. I don't like him going to Ben Broniker in that situation. I thought I think he had Trey Burton kind of heading to the corner. I think that's who he thought the safety would trail. But you're right. That is a throw you cannot make. It's very Jay Cutler-esque. I wrote that in the Sun-Times. But I thought he responded after that by getting that touchdown to Miller later on in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, let's play this. This was you asking about the interception and Mitch Trubisky's response.
On the end zone interception, what did you see? What did you miss there?
You love the interception questions. Like, I was counting you for that. Just thought the safety went with the over route. He made a good play. I lost him when I was stepping up, and I forced one in the red zone when I shouldn't have. So I'm going to watch it again on film and make sure that is what happened and see what I saw. And just I forced it, and I put my team in a bad position and shouldn't have thrown that pass.
So he answered your question, but what was that all about, John?
Yeah, I didn't know that I asked that many questions about interceptions. I'm trying to remember when it was. Obviously, it wasn't the Bucs game because he didn't have one. But, hey, it is what it is. Someone had to ask the question. It was I don't want to call it a turning point because there's so many turning points in this game. But
that was the biggest swing of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you saw what happened after that. I mean, that does not still excuse the defense for allowing a 47-yard touchdown to Albert Wilson 6 plays later after that. But it definitely gave the Dolphins some momentum after they appeared to be really going in the can there for an instant.
You love the interception questions. Like I was counting you for that.
Oh, we got a new soundbite.
But you defend him more than anybody.
It's not that I'm defending. I just had to be fair. And even right now, so I tweeted my story about him playing quite well in this game. He had 122.5 passer rating. People think he played awful. I mean, it just blows my mind. 3 touchdown passes, 300-something yards passing. I mean, he was the Bears' leading rusher for, like, the majority of the game until Jordan Howard breaks off a couple long runs in overtime there. I mean, he was arguably the Bears' best player throughout this game. I am convinced, judging by some of these Twitter responses I'm getting after sharing my column, that he will just not win over some fans until maybe he wins a Super Bowl or something. I don't know what some of these people want. I thought he did enough to win a game. The defense did nothing close to helping him out today.
I agree with you, and I actually think that you mentioned earlier how the narrative's completely different if Cody Parkey makes that field goal and how the stories are written differently. One of the biggest things we'd be talking about, and so I still want to bring it up, is how on a day where the defense, quite frankly, sucked, the offense and Mitch Trubisky picked them up. And that still happened, even though the Bears ended up with an L here. And I think that's a huge development and something I didn't really expect to happen because, A, I didn't expect the defense to play that bad, but also in that situation, I didn't really expect the offense to come up with 21 points in third quarter and explode the way they did. That's a very positive sign going forward.
Yeah, I think it's very significant in terms of a team that wants to be built offensively with Matt Nagy and Mitch Trubisky. The guy they took second overall. Look, one of the biggest questions coming into this game was how Mitch Trubisky would handle success, how he would respond and play after his 6 touchdown performance against the Buccaneers. And we got the answer. Look, he struggled in the first half, like the entire team kind of struggled in the first half coming out of the bye week. And then he was pretty darn good in the second half. Pretty darn good. Enough to win you a football game. But look, some people, that's never enough, I guess. To me, again, if you went over your reasons for why the Bears lost, number one, by far, is what happened in the Bears' defense. Lack of pass rush, bad tackling, all of the above. They failed on defense.
Right. So that, again, number one. Number two is the turnovers in the red zone because that took 14 points off the board, too. So, it wouldn't even gone overtime.
Well, let's not forget Tariq Cohen's fumble, too, in the fourth quarter.
They got away with that one.
Yeah.
They certainly got away with that one. Then number three, because it did get to overtime, that's why this is three. Because I think if the other two get corrected, we're not even talking about overtime. But we did go to overtime today. And I think the criticism of Matt Nagy running the ball on third down is completely fair in that situation. My problem with it in the moment actually wasn't so much that it was a 53-yard field goal, which that's pretty far. But Cody Parkey's 7 or 8 in his career coming into this from 50-plus yards and is very familiar with that stadium. So I don't blame Nagy for feeling comfortable with the kick. My issue was if he misses it, though, they now have the ball at midfield and plenty of time to get in field goal range themselves. So I thought that the risk of missing a 53-yard field goal and putting basically setting them up for the win was high enough, too high to be worried about a sack, which is what Nagy brought up after the game as a reasoning for running it there, or something else bad happening, which, I'm sorry, sounds exactly like what Mark Trestman said in 2013 when we were in Minnesota for the reason why he kicked the 47-yarder on second down, because he was worried about something bad happening, like a penalty. Those are always options. Those are things that could happen, and if you have any of that, then you're punting. I get it. But guess what? A punt in that situation is actually better than a missed field goal, because the missed field goal was essentially a turnover at midfield, handing the Dolphins the victory.
Yeah. Matt Nagy kind of betrayed himself, in a sense, you could say. The guy who's kind of built this mantra of BU and him being specifically aggressive wasn't aggressive in that instant. I think that stood out to me. I think that stood out to a lot of people. I get why you want to play the game, right? You want to play the feel for the game and what you were getting. And like we said a lot in this podcast, this was a wild one. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of things going wrong for the Bears. But he betrayed himself. He has to stick to himself. He has to be aggressive in those situations. You needed more yards. That's exactly what you needed there to give Cody Parkey a better chance. Yes, you like him in this situation. Yes, you signed him to a four-year, $15 million contract with $9 million guaranteed to be your answer in these situations, and he did not come through with you. But yes, you still have to put him in a better situation to help him with that kick.
Maybe where he has it on his play card, that BU thing, he should make it bigger. Like, maybe it needs to be bigger on the play card so that when he gets to those situations, he remembers to BU.
Look, it was part of a wild game. You almost felt like he was going to miss it, just in terms of...
Oh, I 100% thought he was missing it.
What was playing out, right? It was just...
I was actually, Johnsy, I was going to tweet that in the moment, but then I felt like it was just like a not fair to Parkey, who has been pretty good so far, because I didn't think he was going to miss it because I didn't trust the kicker. It's just because the way the game was going, and it was just like, you know what this felt like? This felt like, I don't know if you remember, they lost to the Falcons in Atlanta under Lovie Smith, like 2008, I think it was. They went ahead. Kyle Orton was the starter. They went ahead with 11 seconds left and then still managed to lose it because they squib kicked instead of kicking it deep. This felt like one of those types of losses in the Lovie Smith era where the teams were better, and that's why they sort of stand out more. Whereas, like, if this happened under John Fox, you're just like, oh, well, this is what they do. You know, they're not that good. They're not. The fact that they're better, that this team is more competitive, is kind of why this is under such a big microscope today.
Well, absolutely. And it goes back to the defense. People are starting to screenshot certain plays that the Bears missed right now. We got the screenshot stuff coming up again. And I think a lot of that is fair right now for the Bears defense. And look, you can point the fingers all you want at Matt Nagy for the 53-yard field goal. It's fair. You can point fingers at Mitch Trubisky for throwing that red zone interception. That's fair. I get it. Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, fumbles. That's fair. I get it. But the Bears defense, they're supposed to be one of the best in the league. Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson should not do this to you. It's absolutely unacceptable.
Well, the only thing I was screenshotting was some of the officiating, which we'll get to in a moment. But reason number four, the missed field goal. I mean, it did happen. He missed it. He had plenty of leg. It went right. It should be pointed out the snap wasn't great. Did that get brought up in the locker room by any chance, Johnsy? Do you know?
No, he said he liked everything about the operation. Now he may go back and change his mind, but I don't think he was in the mood to throw anybody under the bus. He just didn't think it was straight enough. Had enough leg, just not straight enough.
All right, well, the only reason I don't have that higher, I mean, you could argue, well, if he makes a field goal, they win. So that's the number one reason why they lost. I disagree. It's a 53-yarder. It's not a chip shot. If it was like an extra point, that argument would be better. But it was certainly a reason why they lost, and special teams there betrayed the Bears. All right. Then fifth on the list, this was one of the more, I think, easily the worst officiated game the Bears have played in this year. It went both ways, though. There was a stretch in overtime where they called a block in the back on Danny Amendola, where he wasn't even blocking the guy on the side, let alone the back. You're right there, buddy?
Yeah. We got a little tickle in the throat here. Okay, we'll live.
It sounds like someone's like banging something really loud in your hotel room.
Yeah, I'm not in the hotel. I'm still in the stadium.
Oh, so that's what it is.
Yeah, they're cleaning up around me here. So it may get a little bit noisy here for a second.
Fair enough. The ambiance of Hard Rock Stadium, which, by the way, looks like a pretty cool place since they've redone it. Then they missed a holding call on Khalil Mack on that bizarre play where it tipped off the Dolphins wide receiver to the other wide receiver.
See, like, I saw that play, and I thought he did a good job of selling it. Maybe it was close, you know, at some point. Like, isn't the argument, why can't you just let these guys play?
Yeah.
I didn't think that one was that blatant. I really didn't. I get why you should be focusing on Khalil Mack. Like, why is he not getting after the quarterback? Maybe he has something more to do with his ankle that was heavily taped after going in the medical tent. But in that situation, look, that was just a bizarre play, again, from a bizarre game. Adrian Amos has to turn to the ball. I mean, maybe he has an interception there. Just another odd sequence of events, I think. But you're right. Yes, maybe there is a debatable call there on Khalil Mack being held.
Well, and then I mentioned earlier, though, they didn't call the helmet getting ripped off of Akeem Hicks. And then the play clock was at zero on that Frank Gore run in overtime, too. Now, this all ended up not mattering, those two calls, because Kenyon Drake somehow fumbled the ball at the one-yard line, which is just an incredible break the Bears got that they couldn't take advantage of. But the play clock was clearly at zero on one of those plays. They didn't call that, just missed it completely. And then the Leonard Floyd roughing call, like, I don't even... It just falls in this bigger story that we've been talking about with all these calls this year on the quarterbacks. He barely touched the guy.
Yes. Did he get a hand in his helmet? I mean, you were watching. You probably had a better view.
He hit his arm, and then, like, the side of his arm grazed Tannehill's helmet. But it was not a blow to the head. It was, like, inadvertent contact.
You mean it's not like the perfect plex he tried to operate on Danny Amendola?
Right, and that you can't do. That was a penalty. Now, I understand why some of these old-timers still don't think it should be a penalty, but that's clearly in the rule book, that you can't do that. This blow to the head stuff, yes, that's also in the rule book, but that wasn't a blow to the head. It was like a graze. You got to allow some margin of error because it's football and there's going to be some contact here or there.
Yeah, it wasn't blatant. It wasn't like a strike to the head. It was a graze. Can we call it a graze?
But yeah, look, a graze.
Like any contact to the head, man, they're throwing those yellow flags. That's what they're doing, man. You have to be very, very aware of that. And look, we had praised the Bears for not having a rougher the pass of the penalty after there's been so many around the league. So just bad timing. Bad timing and a God, what a bizarre game. Man.
Yeah.
What a bizarre game.
It was crazy. Well, again, I don't want to harp on the officiating too much. That didn't decide the game, but it was bad. And then those other four things certainly cost the Bears more than the officiating. Let's talk about the outlook for this team, though. I know people are upset, and you know, we roadmapped the road to 10-6 on our podcast the other day. That was with a loss to the Patriots upcoming, and some weird random loss in there that we weren't really expecting. Maybe that one is this loss today to the Dolphins. But I also think you can never predict this stuff, and they're going to win a game that you don't expect. Maybe that's next week against the Patriots. And I would just say before we get out of here, Johnsy, that it would not shock me if the Bears beat the Patriots next week. I'm not saying I'm predicting that, but I definitely am predicting another close football game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I thought they were susceptible to begin with. I don't know if I should really stand by my 3-1 prediction against the AFC East, but look, we'll see. Sunday night, later tonight, you know, what the Patriots can do to slow down a very Nagy-like offense, you know, in the Chiefs. Look, anything can happen. This was a wild game. This shows to prove how tough it is to win on the road. I think this is a very good example of it. So maybe that's kind of a mindset the Bears should have when the Patriots come to town, when they come to Soldier Field next week. And it's on the defense. Again, I want to continue to harp on those guys because, again, if you're going to bill yourself as this top five unit, you have to beat Brock Osweiler. And now you got Tom Brady coming to town to redeem yourself. You better be up for that challenge. You better be up for that challenge.
All right, before we get out of here, I want to play Matt Nagy, Bears head coach, very upset after the game. This was definitely a shorter press conference and a little bit testier of a press conference. Here's the head coach.
All right, so start off with injuries. Khalil had a little bit of an ankle early on in the game, and then Prince ended up having a left hamstring. Go ahead. Any questions?
A game like this, with all the twists and turns, you've been part of something like this, and how exhausting is it?
Well, I mean, it's exhausting. You know, it's tiring, or not tiring, but it's mentally draining for the guys because they try so hard. And but someone's got to win, someone's got to lose, unless you have a tie. And so, for the guys, you know, they fought hard, and our coaches, our players, everyone, you know, pretty much gave everything that they had. And I just told them, you know, at the end of the game here, that or in the locker room, that we want to come out with the win. We didn't, but they stuck together and they fought to the end.
When you've got that third down there and you're in range for your kicker, you just put the ball where you want it. Did you think of throwing it at any point?
Well, no, I mean, that's, again, you can go, we could do that all day long. You go ahead and you throw it, and then you're up here asking me why you took a sack, right? So you could go all day long on that kind of stuff.
Can you get a sense on the sideline of why maybe the tackling on the defense wasn't as sharp as it had been?
No, you know, it's our guys, trust me, they're good tacklers, and those guys are good ball carriers too when they have the football. And so you got to give credit to them for playing a good game and running well with the ball. They made plays, and so you can't take anything away from them for that.
On the end zone interception, what did Mitch see? What did you see there?
Oh, I saw an interception, and that's what I saw. So it's they played coverage there, and the kid made a good play, and that's that.
It was really hot out there. Did you think the heat had any effect on the defense?
No, not at all. It was hot, but our guys are mentally strong. That doesn't. They had to play in that too.
What was some of the things that the Dolphins were doing to kind of keep your pass rush at bay?
Just playing football, you know, just playing ball. I mean, our guys, you saw they made some big runs after the catch. And I think that's a big part of it, you know. I don't know. I got to go back and watch the tape, you know.
At the end of regulation, Matt, the decision to kneel, was that more because there have been a couple of turnovers by the offense? Is that why?
At the 3-yard line? Yeah. Because if we take a sack or there's a hold in the end zone, that's a safety, and it's game over with 10 seconds, and I'm not coming up here with that happening.
Matt, did you ask for an explanation about the penalty on Trey?
Yeah, no. I didn't, and I'll leave it at that.
With a play like that, is he on Trey to not make contact?
Trey did everything I asked him to do.
How do you think Mitch played the football?
Great. I thought he played well. I thought he went through his progressions. He fought. He battled. We didn't do well the first half. You know, we didn't score many points. Zero in the first half. But you know what our guys did is they battled. They came out and we scored 21 points in 8 minutes. And that's when you do that something, you know, that's a good thing. And so they battled and we had to lead throughout the rest of the game. And, you know, credit to Miami for making good plays.
Were there any major adjustments you made at halftime? Because like you said, it was kind of sluggish.
No, just continue to stick together and keep playing hard.
The Leonard Floyd penalty right in the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
Ended up leading to a touchdown. But is that the kind of physicality you want to see from your defense?
No comment.
Did you get an explanation on that?
Say that again?
Did you get an explanation on that?
No.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Adam, very terse, very different than the interactions we've seen with him before. Even after the Green Bay loss, he seemed to be open. Maybe that's just because it was week one. It was his first NFL regular season game. But I think this one stung Matt Nagy a bit, just like it stung that locker room. I described him earlier in the show as stunned and shocked, and I think that it rings true. If you listen to him there, yes, he was very short and terse with some of his answers to some of our questions. I think that cut some of us off guard. I think this is a win that he thought the Bears should have had. But it's going to be interesting to see what type of response they have this week. And I think that starts with him, especially coming out of that press conference. You know, he sets the tenor. We've heard it a lot at Halasaw. Like, he's changed the vibe. He's in charge of that energy at Halasaw. So what type of mindset does he have starting work on Monday? Like, it's all going to change with him, starting with Matt Nagy.
And by the way, if that's how it is after a terrible loss like this, that's completely fair. I still thought
absolutely
that Nagy was respectful and wasn't like John Fox. He was just upset and, you know, it was actually a good raw reaction to what had just happened. So we're not criticizing him at all. We're just pointing out what the press conference was like since it happened. I'll leave you on this one because this was tweeted out by Chris Kampka today from Comcast. The Bears in the first three quarters, do you know what they're outscoring opponents by? 109-36.
Wow.
100. We were talking about point differential the other day. Point differential in the first three quarters, 109-36. In the fourth quarter in overtime, though, 30-60. They're getting outscored 30-60. That's not good. That needs
it's
to change.
It's the same message from week one. They have to close. They absolutely have to start closing better.
And we need to close this podcast.
Perfect. Look at that. We're pros.
Like how I did that. I hope we're pros. We're 4 years into this thing. At least be considered to be pros of some sort. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S.
Our producer, Joe Romano. Thanks to him. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears. Johnsy's coverage from Miami. ChicagoSunTimes.com is where you can read that. Please rate and review the podcast. We appreciate you doing that. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in. Just search Hogan Johns. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Go ahead right now. Text a friend or tell them, hey, you should subscribe to this podcast. We appreciate our listeners very much. Johnsy, have a safe trip home.
We'll see you Thursday, my friend.
That's right. Well, I'll probably see you at Hal's.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to go cover more hockey or something.
I got one more day left in me, my friend. One more day.
All right. Talk to you in a few days, everyone. Bears, Patriots this week should be interesting.
You love the interception questions. I was counting you for that.